Let's move into Psalm 42. So let's open in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word that teaches us. God, we ask that you would open our spiritual ears and eyes to see what you would have us to see from this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to read Psalm 42, and we will stand for the reading, the first couple of verses. It says, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" You can be seated. So it says, a deer pants for water. Now, the deer pants for water, obviously, because of thirst, because it's thirsty. And I want us to be aware throughout as we study this psalm, how often do we thirst for God like we thirst for water? You know, if you run, if you ride a bike for a long way, if you just go throughout your day, thirst becomes a very real thing in our lives. And so, how often do we thirst for Almighty God the way that our body thirsts for water? Often, brokenness, and we're going to look, actually, he says in verse 2, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" Often, brokenness leads us to thirsting for God. When we come to a place of brokenness in our lives, we realize how thirsty we are for God. But that's okay, because sometimes, and that's actually awesome, because often it's in the place of brokenness that we realize our need for God. We can drown out our need for him sometimes with other things, but in a place of brokenness, we recognize our need for him. Many times we take for granted even our most precious relationships. In fact, often those are the ones that we take for granted the most, those that are most precious to us. And how often that is true of our relationship with God, that we take for granted our relationship with him, that we don't thirst and hunger for him like Jesus said, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they shall be filled. But it's in brokenness that we begin to see what we were missing in those relationships. Sometimes even when we're not missing God, when we get to a place of brokenness, all of a sudden we realize how desperately we need him. Now, we can be broken for many reasons. We talked about suffering in Sunday school this morning. We can be broken because of hurt, because of loneliness, because of sickness, because of loss, because of failure. But the beautiful thing is that when those things cause us to see ourselves as broken pottery, we can come back to the Creator to allow him to remake us. Sadly, sometimes we're oblivious until that point. We don't even realize. But at that point, we have a choice. We can acknowledge a need that we've had all along that we lost sight of, or we can keep trying to rebuild ourselves. Those who are wise call out to their Creator. Isaiah saw things wisely, and here he was crying out for his whole nation. In Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 8, it says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities." Notice, Isaiah sees as they are. He's not blaming God. He said, "You have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." So here, Isaiah is praying for his nation. This is what we need to do as the people of God. We need to cry out for our nation, not just for ourselves, not just for our own families or our own communities, but for our nation. But here we see Isaiah calling out to God. Often our pride will keep us from calling out to God in the moments of our brokenness for many reasons. Number one, because we're ashamed. We get to a place of brokenness, we realize that it's our own fault, and we're ashamed. Number two, we're angry because we blame God for consequences that he did not create. But rather than blame ourselves or be honest about why we are where we are, we blame God and shake our fist at God. Number three, we're frustrated because we're trying so hard to do it on our own to prove something. And we will remain frustrated because we were created to have a relationship with our Creator. I want to show a clip of a movie that actually Josiah showed in youth. So those that were in youth, you just saw this clip. But I really felt led to show it. And this is about a teenager named Jake who had made a decision to serve God. But then, as he says it, everything in his life starts falling apart. So Jake had come to a place where things that he had done before, consequences were catching up with him. And often we think that because we're serving God that we're not going to deal with consequences, and that's simply not true. We deal with consequences for our actions. Sometimes we suffer for consequences of other people's actions. But the beautiful thing is that if we serve God, He will walk with us through those consequences. And so we can learn that it is always worth it. We were not created for life without our Creator. We were created to know Him, to walk in relationship with Him. Look in Psalm 42. Let's look in verse 4 and 5. It says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Notice he is remembering here. Memories can bring us joy or pain. Thankfully, they can be gateways that lead us back to where we need to be. And that's what happened here. Jesus told of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 17. And it says in verse 17, "But when he came to himself," talking about the prodigal son, "he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" And that remembrance of where he used to be is what caused him to make the decision to go back to his father. To repent, to surrender, to commit himself, to even be a servant if need be. And the Father chose to accept him just like our Father God does us. This song brings up a memory of joyful praise. When we remember who we are and who he is, we get our perspective back. The enemy tries real hard, though, to hide it from us in the midst of hard times. The flesh, other people, can hide who God is and who we are as his children in the midst of trying circumstances. Many times we lose our perspective when things get rough. But here we're reminded to refocus because he says in verse 5, hope in God, not hope in circumstances, not hope in self, not hope in other people. Hope in God, because God is not going to change. He will be there. He is faithful. Verse 6 through 8. It says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." First, he was talking to his soul. Then he begins talking to God. That's wisdom. When we begin to focus on what we need to and realize where our focus is and what we need to refocus ourselves on God. Now, I want to show you a PowerPoint. If you put up that first PowerPoint, Joe. This is actually, do the other one first. That was my fault. This is Mount Hermon. And so imagine here, the psalmist says, "And from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar." And then go to the next one. It says, "Deep cries unto deep." This is actually, there are waterfalls. This mountain is so beautiful. And there are waterfalls there. It says, "Deep calls unto deep at the doors of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." I love to go to the beach and pray. Just because when I look at the majesty of the water and of the sky and all of it, I am just reminded the heavens declare the glory of God. I believe here the psalmist is remembering the beauty and the majesty of Mount Hermon. When I pray often, if I'm not at the beach, I will picture like God's majesty. Sometimes when I'm praying in the church, I sit out this window and I look out and I look at the trees, at how high they are. And I remember the majesty of God. We have to, in the midst of our hard times, focus on our awesome God, on how big he is, on how powerful he is. It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Do you hear how personal this sounds? I feel like so often Christians live so far from God. Because like we've been talking about lately, and like we've talked about lots of times before, because it becomes an outward Christianity. It becomes, I am doing this so that I can prove to God what a good Christian I am. Rather than a relationship where I am every day dependent on you, God, listening for your voice, ready to do your will, not my own. But as we begin to do that, then God becomes more and more personal to us. Jesus would steal away and get up a great while before day and go spend time with his Father. Because I believe he needed that closeness, that time with his Father. We have to learn to spend time in his presence. But as we get personal with him, it becomes less of a sacrifice and more of an excitement. There are times that I'm just like, I just need to go pray. I just need to go get alone with Jesus. I just need to be in his presence. The other day, I got up early. I didn't get up as early as I wanted to, but I still got up. And my body was so tired because my little son Jude has decided he doesn't want to sleep through the night anymore, which he was for a while. And that was nice. And I was tired. My body, physically, I was tired. But I could tell my perspective needed some Jesus. Like, I was just focused on, I was tired physically, and I was struggling with a little bit of being overwhelmed in some things, and I needed to get his perspective. The beautiful thing is, when I keep saying that, but that's true. It's so beautiful that when we get in the presence of God and we really begin to focus on him, get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, and on to God, and we begin to cultivate a close personal relationship with our Father, then prayer becomes something that we look for. Oh, I just need to be with you. I just need to get in your presence so that I can hear your voice and get your perspective and see what you would have me to do. And that has come for me. I served God for many, many years where I did my devotions because I knew I should. I read my Bible because I knew it was something that I needed to do. And you know, God is so merciful. He was faithful in that. He would bring verses to my mind. He kept me out of, you know, temptation because he would bring verses to mind. But over the last few years, there is a different relationship that I have experienced with God. And one of the things, the reason that I tell people things is I think, man, if you can get sooner, closer to God earlier, if you can skip over some of the stuff that maybe I could have gotten there a little sooner, I would rather, you know, teach you. And this relationship with God, when you just learn to get alone with God and say, God, I just want to be with you. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to read your word, not as a have to, but as a Father, you wrote this to reveal yourself to me. What do you want to teach me today? So much will change if you will change your perspective. So often we go into our relationship with God so different than we do every other relationship. Every other relationship, we understand that we should go in, you know, putting something so that we can get to know this person and, you know, enjoying spending time with them. And yet we separate our relationship from God in that way. That's a mistake. God is the one who created relationships, friendship and marriage and families. He created it. He wants to have a relationship with us. The song that we sang today, I am a friend of God. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That is from his words. We can have a friendship with God. So here, first he was talking to his soul. Then he begins to talk to God. Now, I don't know if Mount Hermon was a special place for him, that he had experienced the presence of God for the person that wrote this, or if it was just that he was picturing the majesty of the nature there. Verse 8, though, becomes a declaration. Notice here, The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night, his song shall be with me. When you begin to fill yourself up with the word of God and you begin to believe this is for me, he said, I can, the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, you said that you would never leave or forsake me. Then it becomes a declaration of truth. And that's what happens here. Look in verse 9 and 10. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I love, honestly, the back and forth here, because I see that in my own life. Like one day I'm so on top of faith. I'm like, yes, God, we could do anything. And then I fail. And the next minute I feel like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this at all. I remember sitting right there. And some of you have heard this, but I remember sitting right there on the floor when I used to lead worship and just saying to God, God, I just think you need to get somebody else to do this because I just can't do it right. And the Holy Spirit spoke so clearly. I just heard it as a thought in my heart. He said, I don't want somebody else to do it. I want you to get it together. Like, I'm not going to sit here and have this pity party with you about how you can't do it. And we want God to. We want God to sit down and say, yeah, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking choosing you. You know, you definitely don't have what it takes. But God doesn't do that. You know, he doesn't make mistakes when he chooses us for things. He doesn't make mistakes when he chose us to walk with him. He knew who we were. He knew our issues. He knew our drama. He knew our mistakes and our failures. So we're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. No, but he will not sit down and agree with us. Yes, you're right. It's never going to happen. You're never going to grow. You're never going to get past this. He will let us stew in our nonsense until we look up and realize how big he is and how able he is. David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. When the people had come and attacked and taken his wives and his children at Ziklag, and the people, all of his men, were ready to kill him. It doesn't say he sat down and said, oh, God, I don't know what I was thinking. Now, you see some of that in the Psalms, and sometimes, you know, I feel that way too. But it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And so we're going to look here. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Notice he says the first part of verse 9, I will say to God, my rock. He knew that God was his rock. It says Jesus told the story of when the rains and the floods came, and whether or not the man whose house was built on the rock, the rains and the floods came and the house did not fall because it was built on the rock. We always hope that rain will not come into our lives as Christians. But the truth is, we will never promise that. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But the man whose house was built on the sand, if our life is not built on the rock, it will fall when things come, when the rain comes. The man whose house was built on the sand, it says it fell, and great was the fall of it. I will say to God, my rock. But just because we know that God is our rock, let's be honest, doesn't mean that we don't struggle sometimes as Christians. Why have you forgotten me? Even when we know that God is our rock, sometimes we feel forgotten. I have had moments that I thought, God, I do not understand where you are or what you're doing. I remember one of the times in my life that I was struggling, and God gave me a verse, and it said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Because at that time I was perplexed. I thought, God, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you haven't answered my prayer. But we never have to be in despair as Christians. We can have questions without answers, without despair. Because ultimately we can focus our attention on the ultimate God who is always true and always faithful. And when we focus ourselves on him instead of the questions, then we will begin to get our perspective back and our focus back. Notice it says, while my enemies ask, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? That is often the question, either from people or from the devil. People say, if you're a Christian, why are you going through all this stuff? Like, I thought God was going to help you. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Also, the devil will say, I thought, you know, where is God? I thought you, you know, were serving him. Why are you going through all this? That is a question that many of us have faced. But God isn't missing because we go through things. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even when my faith wavers, it doesn't change God. It feels like it does. Like, because my faith is wavering, it feels like, God, you have changed. No, God is the same. My little bit of a lack of faith does not change Almighty God. He's the same he's always been. So even if I'm faithless, he remains faithful. He is still there. The awesome thing is that when I realize that I have been faithless and I've been looking at the circumstances, God is still there. I just have to move the circumstances out of my way and begin looking back at the God who is still there, who has been there all along, and refocus, because he is still faithful. He's just as much God in the rain as he is in the sunshine. And so one of the songs that we were going to sing tonight is Blessed Be Your Name. And the second verse of that song goes, blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be your name. We have to get to the place in our Christian walk where our belief in God is not determined by circumstances around us, because circumstances are going to change. People are going to change. Our own emotions are going to change. That's why our belief in God cannot be based on any of those things. It has to be founded upon the rock of who God is, because he's the only one who isn't going to change. Psalm 42:11. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. In the moments of the rain, we need to learn to speak to our soul. I remember another time in my life that I went through a hard time, and the Casting Crown song, I Will Praise You in This Storm, was so precious to me. I would just listen to that song and cry and cry. But you know what? God is faithful in the storm. We have to learn to speak to our soul. And this, honestly, this is exactly what I did the other day. It was so cool because the Lord brought this scripture or this psalm to my mind. And I was reading this psalm and it was just so alive to me. And I thought, it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? And that's just kind of where I was. I was just kind of disquieted within my heart. But the thing is, as Christians, we don't have to stay there. Just because we feel disquieted, we don't have to go through life that way. I mean, we can spend the whole day, oh, I just wish that my life was better. I just wish that I didn't have to go through things. But we don't have to. We can go, God, you are bigger and you are with me. And your word says that I don't have to be anxious for nothing, for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I can present my request to you and your peace will guard my heart. We can quote scriptures. We can look up the word. We can ask God to speak to our heart, and we can remind ourselves who he is in the midst of trying circumstances and remember that he is still God. And so I just challenge you, if we as Christians would learn to live not by our circumstances, but by who our God is, we would be victorious. And people would be going, what is different about you? You know, you're going through stuff. I see you're struggling right now, but how do you have a smile on your face? How do you have victory in the midst of this? And then we have a reason to give a reason of the hope that's within us. Like was talked about in Sunday school from 1 Peter. Because people will see something different in us. So I challenge you, if you wake up and you just feel blah, you feel like honking at everybody and yelling at everybody and being, you know, in a thundercloud all day long, just remind yourself, I don't have to live this way. Because you know what? I can look up at God. I can remember that he is faithful. And I can ask God to strengthen me and help me. If I'm tired, I can ask him for strength. If I'm struggling with being in a bad mood, I can ask God to help me to be nice. I can ask the Holy Spirit to work the fruit of kindness and to allow his kindness to shine through me. And if we would involve God in our day, now I will tell you this because I know this from experience. Sometimes it might take you until 12 before you realize that. Like you might go, man, it's 12 o'clock and I've already wasted half the day. If you realize it at 12, if you realize it at 3, if you realize it at 8:30 in the morning, whenever you realize, man, I have been living in the flesh and not in the spirit, right then, just make a determination. God, I'm going to live by the truth of your word, not by my circumstances. Amen. And make that declaration right then. So I challenge you, wherever you find yourself today, if you are broken and realizing your need for God, don't make the mistake of waiting until you're unbroken to come to him. Thinking, I don't want to come now. Like so many people live their whole life. Like, well, once I get my ducks in a row, once I get unbroken and I fix myself, because, you know, I don't want to come to God now because then I'm just coming to him because I'm broken. We're already broken. Like we're all broken without Jesus. So whether you look successful or whether you look unsuccessful, if you're not living in right relationship with him, you're broken whether you realize it or not. So when you realize it, recognize the fact that that in and of itself is a gift. It's a gift to realize our need for him. And Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. And he didn't say, the father didn't stand there and go, yeah, I see you, come back to me now. After you spent all your money and made a mess of your life, now you come back to me now. He didn't do that. I'm so thankful that God doesn't do that to us. Like, you know, we do that to each other sometimes. But God didn't do that to us. When we come back honestly broken now, it is different if the prodigal son had come back and said, now, I had some setbacks. You know, I made some good decisions, but everybody else just didn't do what they should have done. And, you know, I mean, that doesn't do anybody any good. Just tell it like it is. If you have made mistakes and you're broken because of your own mistakes or because of other people's mistakes, just admit it. God already knows anyway. You're not pulling the wool over his eyes. You might as well be honest about it. And so just be honest. God, I need more of you in my life. I need you. That pleases him. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That is a gift. When we realize our need for him, whether we have been striving in Christianity in our own strength and we keep failing, or whether we are broken because of decisions that we made that now we're reaping the consequences, wherever we find ourselves, if we will in that moment say to God, God, I don't have anything to offer you, but God, I want to serve you. He is so faithful and he loves us so much. Without God, we're all broken by sin. We just disguise it with success and cover it with busyness and drown it with other things. But we were created for a relationship with him. And he wants to have a relationship with us. That's amazing to me. Every time that I go into my time with God and I go, God, you, the almighty God who created all of the galaxies, the sun, the moon, who can hold the ocean in his hand, you want to spend time with me? That blows my mind. It really does. But he does. He created us for fellowship with him. And it pleases him when we spend time with him. And so if you've had some moments of looking at the circumstances or listening to those who are saying, where is your God? Tell them God is right where he's always been. He has not moved. He is with me. He is faithful. And we just got to take our eyes off of circumstances and put them back on God. I have physically, this sounds silly, but I have physically done this to move things out of my way so that I could see God and focus on him. Remind yourself to hope in God. He is faithful. Even if we've been faithless, he's still faithful just like he's always been. And so Joe's going to play this song. And as it plays, I just want to invite you, if you need prayer, the Bible does say bear one another's burdens. There is a place in the body where we just need to be honest and we need somebody to pray for us. That is okay. We were set in churches for a reason. We're not supposed to do this alone. We're supposed to help each other and encourage each other and pray for one another. And so don't ever feel guilty for that. So if you need prayer, if you just want to get some things straight between you and God, the altars are open. If you have never really surrendered your life, or maybe you did at one point and you're not living like you know you need to, allow God to heal. Recognize that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit, like the scripture says.